Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30 as we're live at Capital One Arena, where the doors are open ahead of Mystics and Fever tonight. It looks like one of the all-time greats in WNBA history is going to retire. Pretty emotional video released by the Phoenix Mercury today about Diana Taurasi. So, Anthony, I say coming up at 6:30 in honor of DT, we should just swear the entire 15-minute segment. We should just see, hey, how many technicals can we pick up? That's what should happen.
It's a great plan. Great plan. I just don't think we should be doing that while we're on the clock. Maybe after.
Oh, okay. So getting ejected from our own show. Yeah, I guess if she's retiring and has made all her money, we're still getting ejected could be funny, but getting fired would not be.
Hey, there it is, Craig.
That's okay. There that's a good point. That's a good point. So we'll find another way to honor Diana Taurasi, and we'll also talk about the game here at Capital One Arena tonight. But it's 6 o'clock. It is time. If you're one of those people that needs to turn down your volume because there's a whistle in some of our sound effects, now it's your time. Anthony's going to hit the pick six button in 3, 2, 1.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
And they can't say we didn't warn them that time. They can't say that we didn't warn them.
They can't. They can't. Good heads up.
Here for the people.
Yes.
Here to serve the people. All right, let's get into it. Pick six time. Biggest headlines of the day. Today is Thursday, but they treat it like a Wednesday because of Monday Night Football, which means the coach and the quarterback spoke, and both of them spoke about our number one topic.
Number one.
Get the ball to Terry McLaurin. That is something that fans in the DMV have been screaming about for years with good reason. He's real good at football. When you see a receiver like Malik Nabers get 18 targets as a rookie, I think a lot of folks are asking, like, why can't Terry get, you know, 15, 12 even? And I think there are times where I've certainly asked that question as well. You know, how many first and tens did we do last year where I'm like, how does Terry McLaurin only have 3 touches in an entire game or 3 looks in an entire game? And so Cliff Kingsbury has done, I think, did a better job in week two than week one of trying to get Terry the ball a little bit more. There's a couple of opportunities that perhaps could have also gone Terry's way if some things go differently. But is this a priority? Dan Quinn, he's the one who sets the tone as the head coach. Here's DQ at the podium earlier today.
Tried to move Terry around into different spots, which, you know, is important because he is, you know, has that, like, playmaking ability. So you want to find the spots to go. As we're going just into our second, you know, full lap together, there'll be more ops for him than we need them to be. What you don't want to do is force the ones that aren't there and make sure, even though in a certain route he may be the primary read, but if that one's taken away, that you don't force that one and go to somewhere else. I really respect that about Jaden, of making good processing decisions. Sometimes you have a play design that's, you know, going to go to one place and it's not there, so the worst thing you could do is try to force something in that's not there. And so I'm pleased that we're not doing that. Do we want to get him involved? Man, you bet, in the biggest way. And so the catch and run opportunities, I thought we had, you know, one or two chances that we didn't go his way. One we had a penalty on that I thought on a trap pass, I think Nick might have been down the field on a slant. That was going to be a big place. That one doesn't count as one of the targets to go.
That play would have been a game changer in terms of huge chunk. Like, Terry's stats look completely different if he has a what was like a 20, 25-yard gain. And it's an RPO and a run-pass option, which means Jaden could have either handed it off or he could have pulled it out and thrown, depending on what, you know, does a linebacker or safety vacate the area? They did. Jaden made the right read. The problem was Nick Allegretti, who doesn't know if it's going to be a pass or run, went full run and bounced off the first guy he was supposed to block, got to the second level, was fully engaged with the linebacker, which is great if you're actually running it, and is an illegal man downfield penalty if you're throwing it. So that would have changed the game. Ultimately, though, it's on Jaden Daniels to pick the right times to find Terry, and he's missed him a couple times on some touchdown opportunities, both in like the deep passing game. He missed him on one in the red zone where Terry won and really should have gotten the football on Sunday. But he's a young quarterback. These are the things that happen. JD also asked today about getting the ball to 17.
Yeah, I mean, go out there and pick the spots. I mean, you know, obviously we got to get Terry the ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to spread the ball around. Defenses are going to key on Terry. Respectfully, respect to him, because of what he did in his league. But at the end of the day, man, when it's time and we have a one-on-one matchup, you know, sometimes, Terry's out there, you know, go let him win. But other than that, you know, we're just going to keep playing our game. We're going to keep moving forward and just go from there.
Two more things quickly on this. First of all, it's not necessarily the sign of a healthy offense if one dude's getting the ball all the time. The ability of this team to spread the ball around, I actually think, is good. Eckler gets his. Robinson gets his. Ertz gets his. I would like to see Luke McCaffrey start to get involved a little bit more. Get involved at all. I don't think he has a catch, or maybe he's got a couple of catches, but there's certainly some opportunities for him that Jaden could hit him on and get him going a little bit more. He brings a good physicality to the game. That would be a nice tone setter. Noah Brown, Deami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus. Like, if all these guys are having 3-4 catches and then Terry has 6-8 catches, I think that's a sign of a healthy offense. That is something to keep in mind. If you want more on this topic, though, we talked about it in Take 5, the 5-minute quick edition of Take Command that is going to be in your podcast feeds tomorrow morning. So subscribe to Take Command wherever you get your podcasts. There is one huge positive sign for the offense so far.
Number two.
They have not turned the football over yet. Of course, they were able to create one on the offensive side, or on the defensive side with the peanut punch by Benjamin St. Juice. But on the offensive side, no interceptions. Jaden did fumble one time, I think, against Tampa. They were able to fall on it. Biotish did. So it's not like there hasn't been some opportunities, but they've been able to maintain the football. Obviously, good ball security down the field. Really, the silliest stuff that they've done so far is the two special teams penalties by Nick Ballore, including one that negates the opening kickoff going back for a touchdown, where that block really wasn't needed. Certainly, like, it was executed to spring things. Sometimes a hold, you're like, yeah, that dude makes the tackle, not the one that Ballore had. But turnover wise they've been clean. Jaden Daniels, that's hard to do as a rookie. How you doing it so far?
I mean, that's the name of the game. It's turnovers. Whoever can win the turnover battle has a better chance of winning. So going out there, just, you know, protecting the football, that's something that I've learned when I was back in high school, when I was young. And then Coach Herm Edwards told me, you know, my first couple years, like, man, you can stay on the field as long as you protect the ball, and everything else is going to take care of itself.
That's good advice from Herm. You know, Anthony, you want to know what else is good advice from Herm Edwards?
You play to win the game.
Correct. Next topic, please.
Number three.
Let's talk about one of Jaden's top targets in key situations. We'll talk about his debut on the keyest of situations, a primetime game, here in a second. But Noah Brown made his debut for the Commanders on Sunday and had two huge, huge catches, one of which was perhaps the most important play of the game. The big chunk play to get them rolling down into field goal range to ultimately kick the game-winning field goal. Jaden talked about that play post-game where he said, you know, we had that situation earlier in the game where Brown's isolated. I knew I could trust him to win, and he did it again. And I do think that his role will continue to expand. You want to talk about getting Terry the football. You have to have other threats, too, because otherwise teams are just going to bracket Terry, load up, and we've seen that over the years. So Brown emerging would be great. Do we expect his role to grow? Here was DQ earlier today on the guy who we hope will be their number two wide receiver.
Boy, what a first start for him, I thought, in a really cool way of having some trust already with Jaden. I thought Jaden absolutely ripped the dagger that went inside on the last drive to Noah. He's an aggressive, strong player. I think, you know, he demonstrated that in the game. So he's worked really hard to try to, you know, learn it and get involved. And so as he's going at the receiver position, it's really all hands on deck, and we like to feature the guys in different ways. I know it was a topic earlier, who's two and all of this, and I don't really see it that way. I see this as all hands on deck, and they go and attack and battle and feature them in different ways. And so I love that they play on special teams and return punts and cover kicks, and like, it really demonstrates like team at the highest level. And so positions like that where you've got a lot of competitive guys, it's a lot of fun to coach.
I mean, that's all great. Dan can talk about Alamide Zaccheaus returning kicks and Jamison Crowder returning kicks and, you know, the special teams impact of guys like De'Ami Brown. End of the day, you need dudes who can go out and ball and catch passes. And Noah Brown has had success doing that in this league, and I think he's still young enough that his best football is ahead of him. And because he brings a vertical, explosive, tall receiver body type that this team doesn't otherwise have, like, in some ways, like Zaccheaus and Brown and Crowder and, you know, to an extent, Luke McCaffrey even, are like all kind of competing for each other for snaps. Brown just does stuff these other guys can't do. He has a skill set and a body type that is able to perform tasks that the other guys can't. And so getting, like, I get the idea of wanting to spread it around. I love the fact that they have some depth at that position, even if it's not the highest quality depth that you've ever seen there. They do have a bunch of guys who are pros and can play. But if Noah Brown legitimately emerges at the two, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it means that he's shined and excelled in a way that's earned him more reps, more opportunities, and with the stuff he's being asked to do right now, that's going to be a really healthy sign for this offense. And that's probably why Jaden Daniels quite likes throwing to him as well.
Yeah, I think just what he's proven in this league, you know, be able to go out there and create separation, make plays. Obviously, him and Terry both came from Ohio State, so they have a lineage of receivers. I still think LSU creates the best receivers, but, you know, not trying to be biased. But they're just very hard workers, man. You can just tell with Noah how he approaches practice. He's a pro's pro. And you see the same thing for Terry, and you know, trickle down to the rest of the room.
I don't know if that's the wisest thing for Jaden. You got your receivers are Ohio State guys now. I mean, but then again, you know, he's going to be loyal to his Tigers. That's fine. Just a little fun. I now want Terry's response to that from Jaden. I want to know what Terry's thoughts on Jaden dubbing LSU wide receiver U, because that is, I mean, honestly, dude, that is one heck of a battle. You got JJ, Jamar, Odell,
Jarvis
Landry. Like, you got some dudes, but you got Garrett Wilson, you got Terry,
Chris Olave,
Marvin Harrison Jr.,
Abuka,
like
Buka, you got the kid Jeremiah Smith. Hey, LSU is DBU, Ohio State is wide receiver U. It's not even
close. No, it is close. It is, but like, if we're power ranking it, are the best two receivers in the league JJ and Jamar?
I mean, but we're talking, those are just two people. Those are just two people.
But they're the two best.
Okay, what did Jerry Rice go? Is that wide receiver you?
No, but I'm saying, like, if one's got a little bit more volume,
yes,
and one's got a little bit more super high-end quality, that's a conversation. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if it's balancing it, just because they're not that far off from those.
I do think with this kid that's at Ohio State now, and if Marvin develops over the next couple of years and Olave continues to emerge like he has, especially if the Saints are just going to put up a million points, yeah, and he becomes, Clint Kubiak becomes the next guy off the Kyle tree, and Olave's his stud. Like, yeah, it probably becomes a little bit more. But I do think it's worth pointing out that, like, JJ's the best in the league,
yeah,
and Jamar's probably second.
Yeah.
So that's worth something. Jaden might, Jaden, you might just have a point. All right, let's keep it moving here on our pick six.
Number four.
This will be the first primetime game for Jaden Daniels as a pro. I'm going to guess he's going to say in this comment in today's press conference that he's not fazed because he played at LSU in front of a lot of people.
I mean, it's special, obviously, be able to play one this early, just coming off my first actual game, the first home opener, now first Monday night game. So it's going to be special, but at the end of the day, it's another game. He's just playing later on in the week.
Oh, he didn't mention the LSU crowds. I know he has before. I hadn't heard that one yet, Anthony. So that was a surprise to me.
Yeah, I don't think anything will phase this guy just because of his experience at Death Valley. So
it's also just like who he is as a dude, right? Yeah. Like he is a guy that just is even keeled. And so I actually legit, like, will it be cool? Will he have a moment where he looks around and you're under the lights and you're like, oh, dang. But I think for him, like, that's a performance enhancer, not a performance, like, constrictor in terms of pressure and all that kind of stuff. As for Dan Quinn, what is he going to say to his team before they head out for their first primetime game under his tutelage and in his era?
To embrace the buildup for it and enjoy it, because it's a really cool experience and one that, you know, for the players that haven't done it before, to enjoy it. But it'll really come down to us. That's my message, to say our style, our play, and how we get down. Once the game kicks off, like, it'll be like normal if we function in that way. But I want them to enjoy the buildup and knowing there's a routine that goes into place for a night game. What does the day of the game look like? We have some meetings and things that day, but we have to be at our best in the evening that day. And so we've had some experience with that in the preseason with some night games, but just going through that process, having the younger players lean into the older guys onto that, it's a big deal. And yeah, we're really excited for it.
I do think I have a greater appreciation at this point in my life, frankly, about how different it is to play a night game. Forget the energy, forget the atmosphere, forget the eyes, that feeling. Just like, if you play at 1 o'clock, you get up, you eat a big breakfast, you go out, you warm up. Like, there's a routine to playing at 1 o'clock that makes a lot of sense if you want to do a really hard workout and perform well in it, which is essentially what this sport is. To have to sit around all day to deal with your anxiety, to figure out, okay, when do I eat? Do I take a nap? Like, think about when you go to bed after a Monday night football game. Like, these dudes are playing until 11 o'clock at night. A lot of them probably normally are asleep at 11 o'clock at night. Like, there's just a physical preparation element that is different. And the fact that Dan Quinn is focused on that as much as he is the energy, I think, is actually a really cool facet of his coaching. Because there is a fine line of, like, riding the energy, but also making sure you have your details buttoned up. And I do appreciate how detail-oriented Dan Quinn is on those types of things. All right, last two quickly in our pick six.
Number five.
More from Jaden Daniels. He's had two very different defensive challenges in Tampa and New York. Cincinnati, probably closer to Tampa in terms of the complexity of what they do. Lou Anarumo is great, is a very, very well-coached team and a coordinator that's been there for a long time. And some of the personnel is new, but a lot of those guys have been there for a long time. So some of the just speed at which things happen that happened in Tampa are going to be similar to what he sees in terms of a speed and an execution and a kind of a how on your P's and Q's you have to be if you're Jaden going against this Cincinnati defense. So how does he feel like he's coming along 3 weeks in reading NFL defenses?
Yeah, I mean, every game is something new. You go from game one where they bring a lot of pressure, game two, trying to mess with your eyes. And, you know, not as much pressure, but, you know, they got some guys out there that can rush the passer. So now it's like going from that game, seeing the growth to game two, and hopefully is figuring out ways, how can I get better each and every week? What little thing can I focus on in practice, you know, that can help me out on Monday?
It is just a process, and it's one thing I appreciate about Jaden is he doesn't try to skip steps. You know, for all the hype and everything around him, this is a dude that's laser focused on the task at hand, has perspective, and I think that's going to serve him very well in the long term. Last but not least,
number six.
Joe Burrow, obviously also an LSU quarterback, also a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who was compared to Jaden quite a bit in the process because of their numbers at LSU. Burrow had the greatest season ever by a college quarterback. Jaden had one of the best that we've seen in a while. Super high touchdown production, super low interceptions, and certainly they have a relationship being Heisman guys that from LSU. So what will it be like for Daniels for the first time facing Burrow in the NFL?
No, I haven't talked to him recently. You know, I wish him nothing but the best in his success over in Cincinnati, what he's done so far. what he did for the state of Louisiana. So it's big for the whole state of Louisiana to see both of us go up against each other on Monday night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll, of course, have all of the pregame coverage here on the Team 980. And then, actually, it's a Monday night doubleheader Monday, so we will have the play-by-play of the other game here on the Team 980 if you're driving around and want to check that out or want to keep an ear on that in the Odyssey app, for instance, while you watch the Commanders on your TV. When we get back here on the Team 980, we are live at Capital One Arena ahead of the Mystics and Fever tonight. The doors are open, folks. Are piling in. It'll be nearly 19,000 here at Cap One tonight. We will talk about the game, what's at stake for Washington, and the other big story around the WNBA today, which is that it might be the end for the greatest star, perhaps, of the last 20 years in the WNBA. All of that next before we get up on out of here on your radios and give way to Megan McPeak and Christy Winter-Scott downstairs for the call here on the Team 980.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.